Parshas Korach, everybody. Parshas Korach. Perek Tazayin Pasuk Chaval. We're going to talk about two psukim, and we're going to go through these psukim well. He bagbu mitocha idazos. Says a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, separate from this Ada, v'chalosam koragan. I'm going to destroy them in a second, like a second. That's what's going to happen over Vayipol Alpanayim, and Moshe and Aaron both fell on their faces when they heard what was happening to Korach Vayomer, and they said, Kel Elokea Ruchos Chobasser, the God of spirits for all flesh. What, one guy is going to sin, and you're going to be angry about everybody? So we have to wonder about so many things in these psukim. The wording of Kel Elokea Ruchos, God of the spirits. What in the world does that mean? What kind of a name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that? Where did that come from that we're saying it over here? So Targum Yonason says it means God put a neshama, a ruach neshama, into every single person and allows him to live and move around. So what does that mean? What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu looks at Korach and sees what happens with Korach, and he says, Kel Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Look at what he was able to do. What in the world does that mean? Ibn Ezra says, here's the line, that Moshe was saying, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to destroy everyone, all at once, if he wants to, that's the shame Kel, is an illusion of power, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all this power to do whatever he wants, nonetheless, not all of them deserve to die. Allow them to live because you're all powerful. You're so powerful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course you can kill them at once. You don't need to. You don't need to kill them all at once. This could happen in a different way. Try to make sure it happens in a different way. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the exact opposite. It's not that you're the God of power. This is the Shem Rachamim. Kael of Elohim is Rachamim. Hashem, Kael, Rachum, Mechanon are the 13 meters of Rachamim. Kael is that name of Rachamim because he saw the Gzera going out. He wanted the people to have a bit more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a bit more mercy on those people there. He excused them by saying it's not always easy to find your Ruach when you're enclosed by flesh. Kel Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basur. Yes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they have a spirit. But when they have Basur as well, they don't always find you in the same way. It's not their fault, says the Or HaChaim. You have to understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their purpose in this world is to overcome their bad, and not always are they going to be able to do it. So now, with Korach, they messed up. So they messed up. It happens. Let them go. Let them get over it. Give them mercy, and let's bring them back. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, not like this. Hashem is in charge of the Ruchos, the Malachim of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in charge of all the Malachim, as well as great, awesome tzaddikim like Moshe and Aaron, who are also known as Ruchos. And since you're in charge of everything, you can do anything you want. You don't have to send Malachim to kill them, and you can stop the Malachim Mashkas from going out because of this. That's what you have the ability to do. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. The Me'a Shiloach says it shows that Moshe and Aaron were willing to be Moser Nefesh. Kel Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. You're the God of the spirits for every single person that's out there. Said the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the way the Moshe and Aaron are looking at it is they looked down, they looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, they looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, take ourselves instead. We'll die instead of all of Klal Yisrael. You're the God of the Ruchos. You decide who's going to die, and we're willing to give up our lives for all of Klal Yisrael. That's how the Me'a Shiloach says it. We're willing to do anything for them. That's what it means, the Chol Basar, for all the flesh here, for every single person that's around, we're willing to give us up. Igor Dekawa says even more to it. Could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even prompted this tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu even told them this is what you should be davening for by saying the word Karaga. He's saying, I'm not going to kill them all at once. I'm going to give them some time to be able to go through. This is the idea that I'm willing to wait just a little bit for it to happen. That's the concept over here. The Malshech and the Meshech Chochma pointed out as well that it says if he was warning them to come, that's the concept behind it. Rav Hirsch, there's a Rav Hirsch that comes out. Kel Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Do you know how easy it is for people to be swayed? Do you know how easy it is for people to mess up when it comes to this? These people, it's not their fault. When you see a guy that's that chashuv, like Korach was an unbelievably chashuv guy. You see a guy like that, do you know what's going to happen? He's going to convince everyone to follow him. That's what's going to be. You see what's happening. People follow what they feel is chashuv. And they felt that Korach is chashuv. So you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the God of Ruchos. You see what's going on inside them. They didn't do this on purpose. They did this because they felt this is the right thing to do. So a human king might destroy them. But you, God, you know this wasn't their fault. Don't kill them for that. Malbim says almost like a Hasidish avort. Everybody has the Pintel Yid. You know what the Pintel Yid is? You got to be Hasidish. The Pintel Yid is? Come on, NCSY knows, right? Pintel Yid is? The neshama within. Within you, there's always something better. Yeah, they messed up. Yeah, they were really, really bad. So what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they can be better. There's something in them that wants to be better, and that's what it means. Kel Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Look inside HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Inside, you'll know that everything's right there. As Tiferes Yonatan says, it's more than that. You know what's so cool about this? Korach's neshama was the tree, and all of Klal Yisrael were like the branches of that tree. Korach's neshama was actually connected to many of the Jews. And for that reason, he felt when Korach went down, the other people were coming with him. And that's the reason why the Tiferes Yonasan says, in the schus of the other neshamos that Korach is involved with, let even Korach live. Up until now, we've been talking about everybody else. Now he's saying, allow even Korach to be able to live. Ksav Sofer says he knew there were two issues going on. Korach, Dathan, and Abiram had sinned against Hashem, and the rest of the people had been pogea in his kavod, in his honor. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm mochel on my kavod. I have no problem with what they did to me. Now it's just up to you. Now it's referring to you. You know the thoughts of man. You decide. For what they did on the outside, to me, I'm mochel. For what they did on the inside, that's up to you. I want you to be mochel. And that's why I use that lashon over here. But those are all the ideas of what it means by kelokei ruchos l'chol basar in this simple pshat. Rashi understands it as the following. And now we're going in the simple pshat. Rashi's explanation is pshat in the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the thoughts of every single man, and you cannot fool him. When a human king sees that there are people that rebel against him, obviously, what's the king going to do? He's going to kill everyone, because he has no idea who's the one that really did this. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can go in and kill this one and not that one, and this one and not that one. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look into their ruchos and see what's going on and make sure that it's going to be okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, the Moshe was correct. And then afterward he said, you're right, some of them will have to die. Not all of them are going to have to die. The Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam say the exact same thing over here. Now, this is more of just a warning. What happened right after this? After HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, stay away from these people. You know what happened right after this? The earth opened up, right? Swallowed up Dathan and Abiram and Korach's family. And then the fire went out and destroyed the 250 men who had the Maktiri Ketores, who were bringing the Ketores itself. That's what happened immediately afterwards. So it's obvious. Stay away from them. What does stay away from them mean? Stay away from them so you don't get swallowed up by the ground, right? So you don't get swallowed up by anything around there. So Orach Chaim HaKadosh was saying, unlike almost all the Rishonim, he's saying, it's not a warning to Moshe and Aaron to stay away from them. In fact, Aaron didn't stay away from them. Aaron went right back up to them later on when they were all dying in a plague. He ran up to within the people and brought the Ketores. He's not staying away from them. Moshe Rabbeinu also wasn't staying away from them. It was a warning to all other tzaddikim. Moshe and Aaron have a schus. Nobody else has a schus. Stay away, he was telling everybody else there. Stay away. Because they have something to worry about. Moshe and Aaron have absolutely nothing to worry about. That you don't have to worry. But the Ramban says, come on, there's something wrong here. And there really is. Looking at these psukim, there's something completely and utterly wrong. If the other people didn't sin at all, which Moshe Rabbeinu was tining, he was claiming they didn't sin. Nothing went wrong with what they were doing. Then why were they all going to be killed? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say this in the first place? Moshe Rabbeinu is like, look in their neshamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know they didn't sin. Then Hashem knew that to begin with. So why did Hashem start off and say, I'm about to kill Vachalo Sam Taraga, I'm going to kill all of them in a second? What does that mean, says the Ramban? Were they chayiv to die? Then they should have died. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's claim? If they're not chayiv to die, then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say they were ready to die in the first place? With everybody, with Korach? Was the entire nation on Korach's side? What, you have 600,000 Jews that were all standing behind Korach? No, you had 250 men. You had maybe a couple thousand people that were standing by Korach. You didn't have the whole Ada standing by Korach that were sitting there making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. That wasn't happening. Why in the world, the Ramban says, was everybody supposed to die? So Rabbeinu Hananel says, they misunderstood. It was a simple misunderstanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only meant for them to stay away from Korach, Dathan, and Abiram because they were going to die. To which they said, what, is everybody going to die? To which Hashem said, no, just Korach, Dathan, and Abiram. It was just a simple misunderstanding. That happens, right? But what's the problem with that? Does Moshe Rabbeinu have a simple misunderstanding in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words? Hashem tells him, stay away. And Moshe's like, I don't understand. That doesn't happen. He's a Navi. That's not going to happen. So the Ramban knocks out, yeah? That's not a misunderstanding. He understood it. Shlach lecha anashim. Rashi says you can send it for yourself if you want. So he did. He wanted to. So he sent them. That's not a misunderstanding. He understood it.
He argues with God all the time. Doesn't he argue?
Give me one.
Moshe Rabbeinu with the killing Klal Yisrael.
With what? With the Egel Zav? Or right now?
God wanted the Egel Zav. He argued.
Because he told him, I'd like you to daven for the people.
That's arguing with
No. It's not a question of argument. That's not what we're asking over here. What we're saying is you misunderstand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to daven for it, so therefore he davened for it. So too over here. It's the exact same thing. When do we ever see Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstanding? Even the hitting of the rock was with a certain intention. It wasn't a mistake. That wasn't a misunderstanding. There was an understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu had that unfortunately was not the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have. But he understood exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting at. What does this mean that he misunderstood? So the Ramban says the following, and it's an awesome answer. This is the Ramban. First, all of Klal Yisrael was behind Moshe and Aaron. They didn't believe in Korach. Korach was a great man. There were 250 great men behind him. Dathan and Abiram were great men, but nobody was on Korach's side. That's what happened at first. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them after the first day, Korach said, Madua tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why are you making yourselves gaivedik on all the people of Hashem? All the people are like, oh man, that guy's going to die tonight. He's going to die tonight. To which Moshe Rabbeinu responded, all right guys, tomorrow morning, everybody pick up a ketores and we'll see who God chooses. So everybody sat there, they went home that night and they're like, man, there's going to be 250 people dead in bed by the morning. There's no way they're going to survive. There's no way they're going to get up. When they got up, and all of them had a ketores in their hands, and all of them are walking toward the Kodesh Kedashim, now the people are confused. They started being like Haran. Do you remember Haran, right? By Avram Avinu and Nachor and whatever. When Avram was thrown into the Kivshan Esh, Haran looked at it and said, huh, I could be on Avram's side if Avram survives. And I'm on Nimrod's side if Avram doesn't survive. They were sort of like, in the middle. We'll figure it out. This is exactly what Klal Yisrael did. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu, and then they saw the 250 men who didn't die the night before. Korach didn't die the night before. They sat there and they said, why is he still alive? Why is he not dead? After arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu and saying something bad about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's wrong with him? Why wouldn't he have died? So they looked at it and they said, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. So they sat there and they said, let's see. Maybe we're on his side. Maybe we're on his side. They didn't know. They looked at Moshe and Korach and they said, we'll figure it out. Says the Ramban, that is not what you do. The Shekhinah immediately came down and said, you're chayiv kliya. You're all chayiv to be destroyed. For deciding later what you want, you should have all been on Moshe Rabbeinu's side the whole time. What you're going to now, you're going to sit there and say, like, I don't know. That's not for you. Get out of here. What were you thinking by doing such a thing? For that reason, that they were mesupik, now they're ready to die. Now they're ready to be destroyed. To which Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's not their fault. They were mistaken. They made a mistake. Don't kill them for a mistake. Don't kill them for that small mistake. Haran was on a greater level, he should have realized. These people, maybe they're not on that level. They shouldn't have realized. And the Meshech Chochma says the following as well. That's the idea, of what the Ramban is talking about. The Meshech Chochma goes through. That's the idea behind it. Now, there's another answer. And it's really simple. The Panim Yafo says this. You know a reason why they should have been killed? They didn't make a macha. You're Korach. You're the 250 men. And what does Moshe and Aaron do? After the 250 men and Korach get up there and they argue. What do? Moshe fell on his face. Aaron falls on his face. Where's everybody else? Korach shouldn't have been able to survive. What would you do? I'm going to say this. Maybe people are a little bit shocked. What would you do if your Rebbe, your ultimate Rebbe, the top Rebbe in the world, is sitting there and a guy comes in and he starts blasphemes God, yells at him, starts screaming at him. You're going to go up, you're going to grab him by the arms, and you're going to throw him on a shul. Of course you're going to do that. Why didn't they do that to Korach? I remember one time I was sitting at Didas Yeshurun, and my Rebbe, Rabbi Cohen, got up. It was on Tu Bishvat, and he got up and he said, everybody should daven for an Esrog. Everybody should daven for a good Esrog. So a guy got up and he said, what about the fruits of Eretz Yisrael? And Rabbi Cohen said, correctly so, the Mishnah Berurah only says to daven for a good Esrog. It doesn't say to daven about the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, but you can daven for the fruits of Eretz Yisrael also. But you're supposed to daven for a good Esrog. So the guy's like, oh, what do you expect out of Rabbi Cohen? I was sitting in the back, I heard him say that. So I went up. And you know me, you know, I'm an unbelievably strong guy, and muscles coming out of muscles. Why are you laughing? So I you know me. So I went up to him, and I got right in his face, and I said, get out of shul right now. You don't say that to my Rebbe while I'm standing in front of you. You don't say that about my Rebbe ever. But you better not say that about my Rebbe. I immediately got in his face, and I made him a call. I got him out of shul. Got him out of shul. Someone came up to me. Oh, maybe he's going to go off the derech. I'm like, go off the derech? You can't make fun of a Rebbe like that and expect to get away with it. What are you talking about? There's no way. I'm not going to let that happen. So immediately I went up. And I would expect every single one of you to do that for me, or I'll kill you. So either way, regardless, that's the idea. How in the world did Korach survive? Where were the people? Why weren't the people there? That's the question you have to ask over here. Where was everybody? Says the Panim Yafos. They didn't do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally doesn't punish you for a mitzvah aseh of Ocheach Tochich Zam Yisrael, you have to give Moser. You don't get punished for a mitzvah aseh. But here you get punished. You know why? Gemara Menachos, Staf Mem Aleph. Be'idan Rischa. If it's a time of anger, if there's special anger that's happening right now, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes you at that moment. This was a moment of anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. The word rega is used in the Gemara Brachos to refer to what Bilam said. I can find the second where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry and destroys Klal Yisrael. V'chalosim kiroga, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, at that moment, I'm angry. Be'idan Rischa. We punish people for being over on a mitzvah saseh. They didn't do Ocheach Tochich Zam Yisrael. It's a time of anger. I'm going to destroy them, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially because this was early in the morning. You know the time that's given for when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every single day? It's in the morning sometime. The Gemara in Brachos mentions Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wanted to curse out some guy who was bothering him. He wanted to curse him out. He took a rooster and he waited for the crop of the rooster to turn white and red with streaks, because that's the moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. And he waited to curse out the guy and he fell asleep. And he realized not the best thing to do. But that's Pshat, it's in the morning. This was the morning. It was early in the morning. They were about to bring the Ketores. They brought it over. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'achalos and Karaga. At this moment, when I have anger, because they didn't do Ochech Tochech HaSamisecha, therefore, I'm going to destroy them. Tiferes Yonason explains what happens right at that moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that one moment a day where he gets angry, right? What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, that's it? Like, he's ready to, he just gets really angry at one moment, and then he's like, I'm good, I'm fine now. Is that what it means? No. There's one moment a day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabiyachol, removes his hashkacha from the world and allows the Beis Din Shomayla to be in charge. Now, it's only one, I'm forgetting the numbers and forgive me for being off, it's 178,888th of an hour. So it's something like 0.012 of a second. I think it's like that. I have it in one of my Gemaras. 0.012 of a second. That's how long HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So on your phone, which is usher, but if you have your phone and you go to the stopwatch, try to get to 0.012. Just try to get it. Try to press. See how far 0.012 is. You know what? It's impossible. You know what? It's too quick. You can't do it. You can't get to 0.012. Can't do it. That's how long HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry for. What's the pshat? For 1.012 of a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the hashkacha, puts Beis Din in charge. But you know what's the problem when Beis Din is in charge? When Beis Din is in charge, Beis Din Shomayla even, there are people that are able to be machish pamalya shomayla. They can do kishuf. And in a time of kishuf, bad things can happen. All of a sudden, something can happen. That's what it means. Bilam knew the time when he could do kishuf and the kishuf would work. That's what he was doing. He was waiting for the rega. That rega when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his hashkacha, when all these bad things happen. And at that moment, he was going to make everything happen. Kerega. At the moment, that second, the 0.012 of a second, the rega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, that's exactly what's happening over here. And that's the point of what was going to happen had nothing happened in that way. The Chizkuni talks about this. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says something entirely different. You got to see the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's a tremendous shot. Yeah.
What does it mean? Why does he get angry at that same time?
It's not that he gets angry. He allows for the Beis Din Shomayla to rule. What's the point of that? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not get that anger, there would be no bad in this world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant hashkacha causes only good. So in order to allow bad to be in this world, and we need bad in order to challenge ourselves and to eventually become better, right? In order for that to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, removes the hashkacha for a second. So this gets into deeper subjects, since other people are better at this than I am, and I'll leave you to other people to be able to explain that. But that's the concept of what happens. But that's the idea of what's going to happen over here. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachai also talks about this. There's a large Rabbeinu Bachai over here. Rabbi Kiva Iger actually uses this Rabbeinu Bachai as a proof for a makor for the Ramah. The Ramah says in Yoredeya Kupta Zayin Hey, when a plague comes to the city, you have to run. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Aaron and Moshe, there's a plague in the city, run. Before we said he wasn't warning Moshe and Aaron, that's one pshat. Rabbeinu Bachai is saying he's telling Moshe and Aaron, run, and don't look back. What happens when Lot's wife looks back? He turns to a pillar of salt. That's exactly what's happening over here. There's so much behind this. There's Gemara Bava Kama, Daf Samach, there's an Ayelas HaShachar, there's an Aderes Elio of Ben Ishchai that's beautiful. Beautiful Ben Ishchai in this, but not for right now. Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer goes on about this rega, and we're going to end. We're going to see two more pshatim, and that's that. This Chassam Sofer is just unreal. He brings a message that a rega is an increment in time in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, that everyone has to stay in and close their doors, right? Referencing them, learning Torah and putting up mezuzos. They have to stay indoors. At that rega, you have to take care of yourself, and then the anger is gone. Does anybody remember what Korach had a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu? Korach had two tainas on Moshe Rabbeinu. Anybody remember what those two tainas were? Number one, tzitzis. Right? If the tzitzis is made of tchelis, why do you need strings? And what's the second one? Room full of svarim, right over here, right? Even our scroll. If you have a room full of svarim, right, then do you have to put a mezuzah on the door? You have to put a mezuzah on the door. If a mezuzah only has two parshas and that pops the whole room, then the svarim all around, you have all the parshas in the Torah. How many parshas are there in the Torah? So Korach said, 275 parshas. If two parshas kapater, why can't 275 parshas? The kasha the Chassam Sofer asks is, why does he have to mention the 275 parshas? What's the point of that? Okay, he goes on. This is amazing. Ibn Ezra says there were 250 men who were all firstborn, and they wanted to get their jobs back, and that's why they're on Korach's side. It's very hard to understand that way. We know why their job was taken away. Why were the bechoros taken away? Why couldn't they draw? Because the eagle was up. That's obvious, right? It makes sense why they wouldn't serve in the Mishkan anymore. What was their taina? right? That's why the Levim were waved and shaved and brought into the Mishkan, right? Because the Levim took the place of everybody else. Anybody know how many Levim there were and how many Bechoras there were in Klal Yisrael? Do you remember?
22,000
Levim. Very good. There were more than that. There were 22,300 Levim, 22,273 Bechoras, but 300 of the 22,300 Levim were Bechoras. So 300 Bechoras don't count. 22,000 Levim patered up the 22,000 Bechoras. But then how many Bechoras were left after that? 273 altogether, right? You have 273 altogether. I'm sorry? So hold on. The 200, that's exactly correct. The pshat was, Korach's real question was the following. He assumed, and the assumption is that there were two crowns that came on her head by Matan Torah, and what happened to those two crowns afterward? They were both taken away. Says Korach, I understand that two crowns were taken away, and I get that. But there are 273 Levim that are out there, representatives of those 275 Parshios of the Torah, each Jew representing a Torah, and maybe we lost two Parshios, so to speak, which said those Levim should protect us. Why in the world was the Shmir taken away from them? 22,000 for 22,000, and then the other 273 have to give 5 shekel kesef to what? What's going on here? He couldn't understand the whole concept of what the Pidyon Levim, Pidyon Bechoras was. 273 Bechorim, I should say. What was going on over here? He couldn't understand it. It should be enough to be protected by the Bechoras. We shouldn't need the protection from anybody else. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's the idea of what Rega stands for. Guess what Rega is the gematria? 273. Rega, Resh, Ayin, Gimel. He goes on. I'm telling you, this Chasam Sofer is so beautiful. I'm opening up the Parsha for you that the word Rega, Karoga, is because their taina was about the 273 Kohanim, a 273 Bechorim, that had to give the 5 shekel kesef, and he went ahead and said Karoga because that's the exact reason why they were destroyed. That Korach could not understand what God's plan was. He thought he had his own better plan. The Chasam Sofer is beautiful. You have to look it up. Okay, it's in the Chasam Sofer Al Torah itself. Then comes our last Rashi. Ha'ish echad yechata. Does anybody know what the word yechata means? How do you translate that word yechata? He will sin. What do you mean? He already sinned. Didn't he already sin? It should be ha'ish echad chata. One man sinned. Thou kol eidah tiksof, and you're getting angry at everybody? So one answer is, obviously, he didn't bring the ketores yet, so he didn't really sin yet. Okay, that's one answer, but he did sin. He argued on Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's an obvious answer. The Gur Aryeh says, well, you never punish people for the future, you only punish for the past, so Yechata really means the past, but that's not what Yechata means. Yechata means the future, right? The Ksav Sofer says, he's going to sin more and more, you got to take him away now, because if you keep him alive, he's going to kill more and more people as time goes on. The Tosefes Bracha says it's never even meant to be a question. We're learning it wrong. It's not Ha'ish Echad Yechata. That would be Ha'ish Echad Yechata. Ha'ish with a patach. It's Ha'ish Echad Yechata. He was stating a statement over here. He was saying, Ha'ish Echad Yechata. When one guy sins, I'll call you to take soap. I see, God, that you're ready to kill everybody for it. Where do you see that concept? One guy sins and everybody else gets punished for it? Remember Achan? Achan took stuff. Adam Rishon, technically, is a good call. Achan. The whole concept appears throughout the entire Torah. One guy sins and everybody gets angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu was not asking a question. That would be Ha'ish Yechata, Echad Yechata, Al Kol Eidah Tiksof. It's Ha'ish Echad Yechata, he's stating a statement. This is the way God works. When one man sins, we see you get angry at everybody. That's that. What? By Yericho, exactly, with the eye. We see what happens over there. But now comes the Nitzitzit Shimshon. I'm telling you, if you come out of the Shir and you decide to become Jewish, this is the reason why. Nitzitzit Shimshon says, Korach was Miskalgo into Yeshu. Korach was Miskalgo into Yeshu. Korach, Kayin, had an issue. Kayin had three parts to his neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, and neshama. There were three things that Kayin did wrong when it came to Hevel. Number one, he was jealous. That was his Ruach, and the Ruach of Kayin went into Korach. Number two, he killed Hevel. That was his Nefesh, and that because he killed, that went into the Ish Mitzri. What happened later on, the Ish Mitzri was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Hevel, right? The third one is, he was not only jealous, he was not only killed, he also grabbed the second twin of Hevel and wanted to marry that second twin. That was Tzipora, and that's why Yisro, who was the Neshama of Kayin, ended up giving his daughter Tzipora back to Moshe Rabbeinu, back to Hevel. So you got it? There's Yisro, there's Korach, and there's the Ish Mitzri. All three of them are connected to Kayin, the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, right? And each one of them got their tikkun in some way, but Korach never got his tikkun. He was supposed to not be jealous. What happened to Korach? He got jealous. So he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So he had to come back again. Who did he come back as? Yeshu. He came back as Yeshu, very different from Rabbi Kiva. Yeshu. No, Bechlanish, not Korach. You're thinking of Yeshua ben Korcha. It's a good call. Oh. But now, Yeshu was jealous of Bnei Yisrael and everything they had. Yeshu comes back. Whether this is the Christian, whatever it is, I don't know if that's the actual whatever. I don't know. Yeshu in the Gemara. Yeshu that's mentioned in Soti. Yeshu that's mentioned in Sanhedrin. The one that was jealous of all the people. That's what we're referring to over here. He was the one that came back. So listen to this for a second. He says, Ha'ish echad yechata. Ha'ish is the Gematria. Hey Aleph Yud Shin is the Gematria of Yeshu. Yeshu Echad was one man, and Yechata, he will sin in the future. And you're getting it for everybody. This tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was not about the right then and only about the right then. His tefillah was not only about Korach, his tefillah was about everybody. His tefillah was about the future, his tefillah was about Gog and Magog. Check out, there's a sefer written out there, check this out later, but the Mach Sofa Lavan in the beginning of the Parsha is an unbelievable sefer written by the Abir Yaakov, the grandfather of the Baba Sali. Awesome pshat and how this whole thing is a reference to what's happening by Gog and Magog. He's saying, now you know what Rashi says? Rashi says the famous line, Hu Achote, he is the sinner. Hu Achote is a reference to the ultimate sinner, the one that's known as a sinner. And here we go. Osam Karaga, Vachal Osam Karaga. Osam Karaga is a gematria of Echad Yulad Yeshua Notri. The Gematria of 740, Echad Yulad Yeshua Notri. That's the reason why he's miscalled. Maybe the idea is to, in order to correct what he had done wrong, that was the pshat of what it had to be. And unfortunately, he never did that again. And he had to go into Tzor Rosachas for that reason. But it's an unbelievable line of what happens by Yishechad Yechda. We'll stop with this, guys. Have a great Shabbos.